Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this morning's sermon is Luke 5, 1 through 11. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Sunday school gives us a wonderful, idyllic picture of this scene over and over and over again. It really is a fun one for the kids. There are even Sunday school-vacation Bible school songs, which I will spare you of, that extol the fishers of men and what it meant for the disciples to be given a whole new vocation on this particular morning after they had had a really bad night of fishing. It seems as a much greater miracle to the children, however, than it really was. Because, after all, it seems to our children that Jesus had appeared out of the blue to teach that morning, that Simon and the others had never met him before, and they were so impressed by his teaching that they rowed the boat out for him, and they did what he had told them, and lo and behold, here were all of these fish. It really wasn't quite that way, as we'll learn this Sunday in the upcoming gospel. John the Baptist had seen the dove settle upon Jesus, had heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son," and at that moment he knew that this was the Messiah. He turned to his disciples, one of them Andrew, and pointed at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Andrew wasn't really slow on the uptake, and he brought his brother Simon, whom Jesus immediately nicknamed Cephas, or Rock, Peter, as we know him. But that's not the end of the interactions. They all go back home, get out their fishing boats, and go back to work. Then Jesus shows up one Saturday for Sabbath services. He casts demons out. He heals multiple people. He goes home with Simon to his house and heals his mother-in-law of a fever. And still, Peter and Andrew and James and John and Zebedee go back to work and fish the very next day. It is a little while longer, perhaps after the miracle at Cana of Galilee, even, that this scene occurs. So it really isn't so terribly strange that Peter would help Jesus out, and that he would call him Master. Not quite as he would learn a little bit later, Lord, or very much later, the Christ, the Son of God, but still, not too shabby. Peter wasn't completely slow on the uptake, after all. Jesus had come to find Peter. You could say Jesus had been fishing for Peter for quite some time now, and he finally found the way to catch him by showing Peter that, yes, once in a while a contractor knows a little bit more than a professional fisherman, and a successful one at that, how to catch fish. It was not slow to Peter to finally figure out that this guy was just not any old rabbi wandering around and performing miracles, that this must really, really be the Messiah. And his reaction, as well taught by all of the Pharisees to him, was, "Get away from me, I'm a sinful person." Because you see, the Pharisees despised everyday people. People who did not spend night and day pondering over how much of the tea leaves they needed to tithe to the temple and all of the rules and regulations just now promulgated by the rabbi down the block. And so they were sneered at for not being serious about keeping the law. But we know a whole lot about Peter, and he wasn't an unpious man. But he figured he couldn't possibly keep up with the law as the Pharisees told him, and so he settled for just being a regular old guy on the lake, making a good, decent living with him and his brother and his friends and their father and all of the people they were able to hire to bring in the food for Herod and his capital. It was that day that Jesus decided to call him to a different kind of fishing entirely. And once Peter admitted who he was, built in to that call was, "Your sins are forgiven. I've got a different job for you to do. Now you're going to catch people." And he did. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, he caught 5,000 of them. And that was just the start. Jesus also finds us where we are in our lives and calls us to fish for people also. A lot of you are in your second career, and you may have remembered a pretty successful one at it. One pastor who was a student here a while ago was actually an assistant district attorney for the state of Hawaii. He had an office that overlooked the statue of King Kamehameha when he became convinced that God wanted him to become a pastor. They kind of thought he was a little loopy because his pay as a pastor doesn't quite make it up to assistant district attorney for the state of Hawaii. And so it is with us sometimes too. We're in the middle of a call and we might say to Jesus, "Are you crazy? After all, I could make quite a bit more money doing something else. I could feed my family, make large contributions to the church and to the seminary, and help a whole lot more just by kind of working." But there's something about Jesus saying, "Yes, but you go and catch people." Like Peter, we sometimes have a different agenda. Even after we end up at seminary, we always think of another angle to make a little bit of extra bucks, maybe to supplement a pastoral income, to do something different, to make a mark on the world when, by the way, making a mark on the world really doesn't work all that well. See the book of Ecclesiastes if you wonder. And all those other things that turn our attention away from what God really has asked us to do. God, you see, wants us to catch people. That's what he has called and is calling and will call us to do, either as pastors or as deaconesses bringing God's mercy to people in need. The goal still is to catch people and to bring them in. And like Peter, when Jesus finally does get through to us, our reaction very often is, "You know, God, I am a sinful person. Are you really sure you want me out there being the person that is standing there representing you before the world in one form or another? Are you really, really all that sure? After all, I am a sinner." And to us, Jesus says, not only implicitly, but explicitly, "Yes, you are a sinner, but your sins are forgiven. Now, go and catch people." You see, Jesus set aside his power and his glory not to seek kind of generally people out there, but to seek you and to seek me. He was born as one of us, lived a perfectly normal life for 30 years as a contractor from Nazareth, did the law of God perfectly for our sake, went the way of the cross, suffered, died, and rose again from the dead so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might rise from the grave on the last day, and so that we might be his representatives in this world to find other fish and bring them in to his church. He bore our sins on that cross that we might be forgiven, but not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. Because you remember, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he was sent to seek and to save the lost. And he has said to us, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. So because he fished for us and caught us, brought us in the waters of baptism, put us into the boat of the church, helped us to grow and to learn and to, yes, go to Sunday school and learn all these stories as well there, to become adults as Christians, and to be in the place where we too can go to others. It is because he does that that he now sends us forth to fish. Maybe with a net, maybe with a fishing pole, maybe as they just approved in Illinois with a spear, but whatever it is, to go forth and to fish for people and to bring them into his eternal kingdom. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.